Bibles, if you would, to the book of Revelation. Actually, we need a warm drive. Book of Revelation. Apocalypsis. Right? Apocalypsis? Yeah. All righty. Thank you for that, Miss Adriana. I'll buy you lunch. Actually, I'll buy everybody lunch today. You all are all invited. We will have some fabulous things going on for you. And Book of Revelation, chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. If you're ready, say amen. All righty. Praise the Lord. Bible says, a great and wondrous sign appeared in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads, and his tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. Jesus is his name. And her child was snatched up to God in his throne. The woman fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth. And his angels with him. Lord, we thank you that you are good, that you are mighty, that you are awesome. Tenemos un lugar para ustedes allá para los niños. Who can help me with that? Tell her about the cry room. Can you show it to her, would you, Adriana? All right, we good? All right. I'm sure he wants to hear me. Hallelujah. I want to thank Aaron Bugs. He's down there cooking. He's down there teaching today, and he taught last week. Lisa and I were gone. We're up at Big Bear, and I want to let you know that it snowed. It snowed a lot, and we were scheduled to come back on Wednesday, but JJ had a senior game, and we had to, you know, go back on the court and stand, and the kids come up, and so we couldn't miss that. So we had to move our departure day back from Wednesday to Tuesday, and then I got up on Monday morning, and Lisa is frantically cleaning the place, saying, we got to leave, and I'm like, okay. She says, God got me up at 4 o'clock this morning and says, we got to go today, and you know, when things like that happen, you can choose to go your own way, or you can choose to listen to God. Amen? Well, I chose to listen to my wife, who was choosing to listen to God. And we packed up, and we got out of there. And I am telling you, on the way back, it was blowing. It was snowing. We drove past a rock this big that was in the road. Just fell down the road, man. It wrecked the car. And found out later that it snowed like 20 inches. On Monday, as we were driving down, the lady whose house we were staying at said, it was so good that you left, because the power went out, and there was no power for 24 hours, and we could have been snowed in. We could have been caught in the snow. Today we're going to be talking about being caught in the curse. The title of the series that we are starting is Conquering the Curse. We ended last month with a series called Lightening the Load. And many of us come in here carrying a load from our jobs. Can I get a witness on that? Load from our families, load from our cars, load, some of us loaded down from sin. And we talked about how to lighten that load and get away from that. I want to thank Aaron for opening our series on conquering the curse. He spoke last week on the full armor of God, that we can take our stand against the devil, that dragon that was hurled out of heaven, and we can be arrayed spiritually to stand against the dark forces of evil, the spiritual forces of evil that come against us. Amen? Those forces that roll in the power of the curse and come after us. And so we're going to take a look at conquering that curse in the coming weeks. And you wonder, why is it so hard? You know, why are we so weighted down? Why are we so challenged? And it's because we're cursed. We're cursed. Our families are cursed. And our planet is cursed. Jesus hung on a cross to reverse the curse. Can I get a witness on that? We're going to talk about conquering the curse in the coming weeks. And we're going to talk about the choices that we make because Jesus hung on a cross to give us an option. Because if you're going to live in the curse, it's a choice. But you can choose to get out. Amen? All right, we're going to talk about being caught in the curse. And we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 3, where we talk about the curse this morning and letting you know that distractions will come your way. Amen? Just Genesis 3, 1 through 3, Bible says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say that you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We can eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say that you must not eat fruit from the tree that's in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will surely die.'" And this whole thing starts off with a simple question. Serpent comes. He is crafty. He is most crafty. The Hebrew word there is Aram. Means crafty, means prudent, sensible, shrewd. And we get an image of wisdom. And we can see that Adam and Eve are drawn to the serpent. Paul writes to us in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, that Satan comes masquerading as an angel of light. And it's not just Eve that he comes and talks to. That he'll come into your house and he'll talk to your wife, or he'll talk to your husband, or he'll talk to your children and ask that question: did God really say? Is God really serious? Does any of this stuff really matter? And it is questions like these that erode our trust and erode our confidence in God. Does God really care? Now, I want to take a break for 1 second. And I want to take a look at what God is speaking to us. And he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and he's... doesn't sound like he's messing around. Neither the sexually immoral. I'll just pause there, because I think we got a lot of immorality that flows in our culture. Amen? Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. You know what adultery is. Notice there's neither in front of all these. Nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Not going to go to heaven. Going to go someplace else. Am I being clear here? And he says, you guys were like that. I know I was like that. But I was washed. I hope many of you have been washed. You were washed and you were sanctified and you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, all this stuff that's up here on this screen, all this stuff that the Lord is talking about in the Bible are choices that you can make that will separate you from God. See, if you're going to live in the curse, it's a choice that you're going to make. Not one amen? Thank you, Lori. I got lunch for you today. Let's keep going. We'll read verses 4 and 5. Devil talking. Serpent talking. You will not certainly die. For God knows that when you eat from it, this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree that is in the center of the garden of evil, when you eat from it, your eyes are going to be opened. And you're going to be like God. And you will know good and evil. And I want you to notice that the question of did God really say opens up Eve to the deception of the devil. And that when the devil comes to you, he comes kind of sideways, harmless, and then he begins to sow a lie into your soul. And this question really causes Eve to begin to evaluate what God really said. And then as she's thinking about what he really said, then the serpent just kind of whispers in there, you won't really die. God's referring to a spiritual death. Eternal separation from Him. I know what that feels like. Anybody else know what it feels like to be living in sin, living apart from the Lord? That's called death. Now, the devil's describing a physical death. He says, you can eat this stuff. It's not going to kill you. You can get by. You can get over on this. And he throws in a kicker. When you eat this stuff, you're going to be like God. Whoa, really? And he says, you're going to know. You're going to get the knowledge of good and evil. And that's what this whole story is revolving around, to get that knowledge and to be like God. Yeah. I think I could handle that. I think I could do that. Here's the tragedy. Adam and Eve were already like God. Because the Bible tells us that God had created them how? In His image, right? And what the devil does is he throws you offers, gets us chasing around things that God has already provided us with. Amen? He said, oh yeah, let me give you something that God has already given you. All you got to do is worship me. Devil says you can be like God. Then you won't have to obey Him. You can make your own rules. You can make your own choices. See, living in the curse, it's a choice that you get to make. Let's talk about choices just for a moment. I was talking with Dan the other day last week. It was last week. And we were talking about teenage suicide rates and that they are sky high. I did a little bit of research on that. And the leading cause of death among teens and young adults is accidents, car accidents mainly, other accidents, that kind of stuff. Second leading cause of death in the life of teenagers is suicide, a choice that they make. I did some further research, talking about the curse and the that little short blue box up there. That is the suicide rate, 3.2% of attempted suicides among the general population. That great big high box, 35%, 35% suicide rate among transsexuals, 35%. That second box over there, 16%, is the suicide rate of the general LGBTQ. I think I got that right. population. In fact, enter into that community will raise the suicide rate 2 to 7 times. Enter into that community, it will drop your life expectancy 8 to 20 years. If you decide to smoke today, it is going to shave 10 years off your life. If you quit smoking, 90% of the effects of smoking will leave your body. So you can choose to live in the curse, or you can choose to get out. Amen? Let's keep going. Verses 6 through 7. See, God gives us the option. Jesus hanging on the cross gives us an option. Can I get a witness? Bible says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom. You know, I know some kids around here love to eat some fruit and get wise. Study for my test. No. She took some and she ate it, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it, and the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. Nothing changed except the fruit. They sewed fig leaves together, and they made coverings for themselves. See, Adam and Eve make their choice. Going to live in the curse. It's a choice. The fruit was good. It was pleasing. It was desirable. Eve is engaged. She's checking it out. Man, I think I could make something out of this stuff. I could chop it. I could dice it. I could put a little sugar on it. I could make a pie. And she begins to think of all the good stuff that could happen with this fruit. Adam was with her. I could do this. And she makes her own assessment. She finds a new way to go. Her way, Eve's way, the serpent's way. It's a way that is separate from God. Adam and Eve make a choice. This is good. And after that, they act quickly. And they eat that fruit down. They figure they can handle it. They figure they can handle it because they're going to know the difference between good and evil. And they're obviously going to choose good every time. Can I get a witness on that? Oh, yeah, I want to know about evil, but I'm never going to choose evil. See, they became aware of evil because they chose evil. That's how they knew it. That's what they did. They were created to be one flesh. But everything changed. They are caught. Feel shame. Created to be side by side, helpmates, walking through life together. As soon as they ate that fruit, they hid from one another. They discovered their differences, and they made clothing so that they could camouflage their differences. They're caught up in the curse. Let's keep reading. Verses 8 through 13. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden, but the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you, Adam?" He says, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." God said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat from?" And the man said, Adam said, "It was the woman that you put here with me. She gave me some of the fruit." She made it look like a little fruit salad, Dad. No, he didn't say that. "She gave me some of the fruit, and I ate it." The Lord said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "It was the serpent. The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So Adam and Eve eat and hide. This was new. This was a result of their shame, a result of their choice. See, when God used to come around, they'd come running. Like these little children running around and see mom coming. And they come a running. Or dad come running with their hands up. That's how Adam and Eve would happen when God showed up, but not this time. Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve? They didn't come running because now they knew both good and evil. They knew evil because they chose evil. Rather than hide, God would have us draw near. Writer of Hebrews, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with a full assurance that faith brings. Let us have our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. I think maybe eating that fruit, they had some guilt in their conscience. A witness on that? And rather than come near, they ran away. And that is how the devil gets us apart from God, because we feel so guilty and we feel that when God comes near, we got to run away. But he says, let us draw near, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. See, God would have us not run away, but to come close and be transformed. But you come near to God, you're going to be cleaned. Now, if you're going to get cleaned today, you're going to have to come in dirty. You're going to have to come in realizing that you need God to do something in your life. Because if you don't need it, God's not going to dump a bucket of water on you. They do that Super Bowl only if you're the coach of the Patriots. God talks to Adam, what have you done? And he says, it wasn't my fault. It was the woman. It's her fault. And you gave me the woman. It's your fault, God. And he says to Eve, what have you done? He says, it's not my fault. It was the serpent. It's his fault. You want to get clean, you got to know you got a problem. Till we own up to our choices, we're never going to get away from the curse. Amen? I am living in the curse. I have diabetes. My body is broken. It does not process food correctly. It's a complicated. My disease is all a function of the choices of what I eat. I met Rocky for lunch on Friday at Santa Ana, a new place over here by El Super. Had two tacos. Bad choice. See, I can't have tortillas. I'm going to have rice. People are freaking out, man. I can't have potatoes. I can't even have a cookie. Now, I carry around with me a continuous glucose monitor. And it says right now my sugar is 141. Unless you have diabetes, your sugar is not 141. If you're just sitting there with a normal body, you're probably sitting about 90. My wife will say, oh, check my sugar. I'm thinking 90. I'd kill for 90. Right, George? Kill for 90? Yeah, kill for 90. What? Okay. See, me and George, we're both living in the curse. And what this thing does is it tells me about my choices. I can look at this thing, and it'll tell me whether I've been good. Bad. You got some real problems. to the curse is a choice. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, last thing I got for you. The results of the rebellion. Let me put my continuous glucose monitor away here. All righty. First thing the Lord does is the Lord talks to Satan. The Lord talks to the serpent. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Now, tradition tells us, not the Bible, tradition tells us that Satan was the most powerful, beautiful, and gifted creature that God ever created. That he was formerly the keeper of the throne room of God, and he led a rebellion against God and was cast from heaven. We read about that in Revelation chapter 9 today. Now, part of this curse, other than the shift in his physical stature, was the enmity between the seed and the serpent. And we talk about the seed, and we talk about Jesus Christ coming as the seed of the woman. And I want to let you know this morning that Jesus conquers the curse on the cross. Amen? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, I am the living one. This is Jesus talking here. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. See, you're going to live in the curse. It's a choice. Jesus gives us an option to get out. Amen? All right, let's talk about Eve now. To the woman, he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. Can I get a witness on that, ladies? Amen. How many of you ladies ever had a baby? Put it up high, hand up high. Yeah. Does it hurt? Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, you can believe the Bible. You can believe the Bible. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Now, to the second part of this curse, the New Living Translation has, your desire will be to control your husband, but he will rule over you. And there's some bunch of Hebrew stuff behind there, and I want to spend a bunch of time in that. But what was intended to be a side-by-side, mutually supportive relationship between Adam and Eve, because of the curse, now becomes one of contention. Are you tracking with me? Man, this impacts you as much as it impacts the ladies. Now, the cross provides an opportunity to overcome the curse. And I'm going to read for you from the book of Ephesians that Paul writes to the church in Ephesus about how we can overcome this portion of the curse. And I'm going to let you know, it's not easy. But we can do hard things. Amen? Here we go. Ephesians 5, 22 to 28. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. And some of you ladies are saying, well, that sounds like a curse right there. Wasn't that funny? All right. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Period. Now, he's going to talk to the men. And a lot of the men stop reading right there. But we're not. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. You know what Jesus did for the church? He hung on a cross. Can I get a witness on that? See, now, the ladies go, oh, I don't want to submit. Well, the men say, I don't want to get on the cross. Now, I don't know which is tougher, but I don't really have an option because I got to get on the cross. You got a witness on that? All right. And gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word and to present her to himself. We're talking about the church as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Now, how many of you ladies, how many of you ladies that are single would be attracted to a man who would live like that for you? So I'm not asking the married women because you might not have one. He says, Paul writes, in this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. So, ladies, a man comes to you and says, I want to enter into a relationship with you, and I will care for you as much as I care for myself. Does that sound like a good deal, ladies? I know we got a distraction. Does that sound like a good deal, ladies? He says, he who loves his wife loves himself. Now, you want to overcome the curse? That's how you do it. Men, you hop on the cross, and women, you submit. You wait for the man that's going to jump on a cross for you, and you submit to his lead because you say, he's down for me and for my family. Amen? That's how you overcome the curse. That's how you overcome that enmity that comes because of a choice of wickedness back with Adam and Eve. Amen? All right. Last thing I got for you, the curse on Adam. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife. Now, that's not a sin, gentlemen. I just want to let you know. I listened to my wife. We left at 4 o'clock. It was a good thing. Watch out about fruit pies, though, gentlemen. I just want to let you know. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about what... I want to let you know, too. You take a look at this. There was no bushes. There was only trees at this time. What? Check it out. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you will return. Man, we live our lives in a constant battle with our surroundings. It is through the cross that God provides victory from the curse. Last verse I have for you today, Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. I know what it is, Paul talking, I know what it is to be in need. Can I get a witness on that? Anybody been in need? I know what it is to have plenty. Not so many of us might know about that. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. See, living in the curse is a choice. But you can choose to get out. Gail, I don't see my wife. So could you come up and play me a little something back there? Talking about conquering the curse today. We're talking about choosing to get out. Jesus conquered the curse on the cross. And sadly, we are surrounded by people who reject the cross and choose the curse. They live in the curse. We are surrounded by people who embrace the curse every day and reject the cross. Our culture, our world is floundering in the curse. And sadly, we see the impact of the church and the curse in the church. Because There are many people in the church who believe that they can grab onto the cross and grab onto the curse. Devil comes along and says, you can handle it. It's no big deal. It's just one cookie. You can handle one cookie. But you know what I found? It ain't never one cookie. When the devil comes to you, he says, you can do your own thing. Did God really say? Does God really care? Is God even close? Well, maybe not. You know? Maybe most of this stuff really doesn't even matter. I think I'll start making my own choices. I think I'll start being my own God. The more choices you make as your own God, the more you're living in the curse. Jesus hung on a cross to give you an option. Set you free. Give you a new way to live. We're going to be talking about that in the next couple of weeks. And I do believe that you're going to be blessed on how we can get away from the curse. Amen? But maybe you come in here this morning and you're just thinking, I am cursed. I am so done. 29 years ago, I was walking down the street in Sacramento. You know, I had grown up in the church. I didn't know anything about the church, though. I didn't know anything about the Lord. But I knew I was cursed. I was walking down the street and I said, God, you can have my life. I have destroyed it. And the Holy Spirit came into me in that instant and began to guide me to the cross. Now, we're going to be talking about that in the coming couple of weeks, but perhaps you're here this morning, you're saying, I am done. I don't want to be living in this curse anymore. Whatever you want, God, whatever you've done, Lord, I want a new option, Lord. I want to grab onto the cross this morning. I want out of this curse. I want to be transformed in my life. I want to be transformed in my existence. And I got to get away from that lying devil who whispers into my ears over and over and over again. Lord, I don't want to live like that anymore. See, living in the curse is a choice. But this morning, you can choose to get out. Pray with me. Lord, I thank you that you are good. I thank you that my wonderful wife who hears from you is back up here. Thank you that she listens to you, Lord. Lord, and that we can work side by side, Lord. We come against the attack of the devil that brings separation and division. And perhaps you come in here this morning and God is just speaking to your heart. God is just speaking to your soul. And he is just saying, it is time to make a new choice. I will rescue you from your cursed life. But you got to choose the cross. Jesus says, you're going to follow me. You got to choose the cross. You got to choose it daily. And the devil will be there daily saying, did God really say? And I'm telling you, he said it. And I'm telling you, he means it. And I'm telling you, He will rescue you from the curse this morning because of his sacrifice on the cross. You're here this morning and you're saying, oh, I need a rescue. I'm so messed up. It's my fault, God. I have made choices. I am messed up. I want to be set free. I want to be transformed. Nobody's looking around, but that's you this morning. I just want you to slide your hand up. I want to pray for you. Say, that is me. I want to be set free from the curse. Right over here, somebody else would say, that's me. Right over here, right over here, right over. Hallelujah. All kinds of people. Lord, we pray, Lord. Lord, we pray, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice on the cross that sets us free. Lord, it's just on your heart. 6-8 people put their hands up. You didn't put your hand up this morning. The Lord is on you saying, you are cursed. It's time to get free. It's time to make a new choice. You didn't put your hand up before. The Lord is speaking to your heart. I just want you to slide your hand up right now. You say, that's me right here. Hallelujah. Right here. Hallelujah. Anybody else? That's me right here. Yes, yes. Anybody else? That's me. Anybody else? Anybody else? Worship team's going to come. Let's all stand. Lord, I pray for each person, Lord. Lord, I pray for choices. I pray for new choices, Lord. I pray for choices, Lord, to step out of the curse, to grab onto the cross, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your Spirit guides us, Lord. I pray new life. I pray new life on each person, Lord, expressing that desire to come to us this morning, Lord, as our Savior, our Redeemer, Lord. To guide us, Lord. Guide us into eternity. Now, you said, I want to make a choice. I want to choose the cross. I'm going to ask you. You put your hand up. Because so often the devil say, oh, you don't need to do that. You don't need that. It's okay. You can get by on your own. You don't need to do that. The Lord says, you're going to follow me. You got to pick up your cross. You got to make a choice. You got to choose to get out of the curse. I'm going to ask you, just come up here. You made that, you put your hand up, you made that choice. Put your hand up. I want you to come up here, kneel if you can, not if you're Lori. I want you to kneel right up here. I just want you to just begin to talk to the Lord about the issues in your life.